welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Russ, and I'm joined by my co-host for the day, Mr. Trayvon Jonas Gumbessa himself. We welcome Trayvon, a long time helper of the show, the part of our, you know, our NOS crew, the guys who are able to lean on to help us out from time to time. Ryan is not going to be able to be with us this month. He's just having a lot of some personal family issues, everyone. So that's why we have not been able to get an episode out the past couple weeks, and why for the remainder of this month, you'll definitely hear me with some different guests throughout the month. So, but Trayvon, thank you for joining me. I'm so happy to have you back on. It's been quite a while since you've visited the podcast. How have you been?
I've been doing good. Happy to be on the podcast. I think it's been, a year or so since I've been on?
It's been a while. I mean, again, we had a bit of a hiatus there, maybe dropped an episode here or there, but really just kind of went on a big, long break and then really restarted the show back in the fall with Ryan. And, we trickle these episodes out when we can. So, again, we apologize for being gone the past couple weeks, but we're back this week, and we hope you enjoy the content we're going to put out. But Trayvon, if you remember the formula, and this segment is kind of, I would say it's named in your honor, because, you're the one and only person who ever showed me this game existed, and we played it a ton, but it's time to get into what we have been radical rexing about. All right, and Trayvon, since you have been gone so long, why don't you tell, what's some things that you're into right now? Are you gaming anything currently new? Got anything you're excited about? What's going on?
Well, recently, the new Endless Ocean Luminous game came out for the Nintendo Switch.
Right.
So most of my Switch time has been spent playing that online. Played that quite a bit. Mm. As far as non-video game news, recently, we just had a big solar flare hit the Earth, so the aurora was visible quite far south. And so where I was at just last night, I went out about sundown to go to kind of a isolated place in town, and there was no background lights or no light radiation or anything like that. So I was able to get a really good view of the aurora borealis as it was hitting.
Whoa.
Where I live, so...
Out in Ohio. Yeah, I didn't even know that was happening. And now I'm seeing, you posted about it, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing lots of people posting photos all over the world, like Europe and Tennessee, and you're in Ohio. And
I actually have an app on my phone that monitors, solar flares and that sort of thing. I've been doing that for years. It's just sort of something fun to do, so... When this happened, I kind of knew it was happening in advance, and I guess someone else must have been, there's people that also monitor solar flares and stuff for fun too, so they must have let it loose on social media, which is how everyone else knew, because back last night when I was taking pictures, there's actually a bunch of other people at there was a nearby reservoir that I went to get pictures, so there's other people that showed up to get pictures as well. So,
you need to be at a place that's not around where society is, basically, to really see it.
Yeah, you want the sort of the background lights to be as dim as possible, because there was a couple lampposts out there too, and you had to move away from those in order to get a really good view, because it's really hard to see with the naked eye. Pictures that you're seeing, that's not actually what you see. That's what your camera's picking up. Quite a bit more vibrant on your camera. So the pictures that I took that had the colors, you could kind of see that, but when you take the picture, that's when it really starts to pop.
Okay. Wow. That's good to know. And it's happening tonight too, right?
It should be happening, I think, all this weekend. So keep your eyes out. You live in Indiana. I think you should be able to see it there.
Keep your phones out. Man, what a year.
Mm-hmm.
Getting eclipses, getting aurora borealis. It's pretty wild. Okay, cool. Awesome. Anything else at all for everyone?
Not really.
Okay.
How about you?
I have been Gaming wise, I mean, my life's just kind of everywhere a little bit. I've been dipping my toes since I've been on paternity leave, just kind of dip my toes here and there in multiple things. You know, I've been playing a little bit of Paper Mario Origami King, and I finally got to like outside the final boss of the game door, and then I like saved it, and then I haven't gone back to it in a couple weeks. Because then the artist for our show, Kyle, he keeps spam pestering me about playing all these different games. So like I've been trying out Corn Kids, which is only $6, which is a good game. I am enjoying it. It's basically like a glorified, I'd say it's like a glorified demo. There's only like three worlds, but it's difficult. It doesn't hold your hand. It doesn't show you. I mean, it tells you what to do, but it doesn't, once you like get out of the tutorial, you're pretty much just on your own trying to figure things out. And I do like the premise of Corn Kids. Like, well, one, it's totally straight from the 64. I mean, the graphics are Nintendo 64 graphics. The charm is there. It feels like a game that was made in 1999 or whatever. But it plays really well. The controls are great. It's different. It's not like you collect things, but it's not like Mario 64 Banjo-Kazooie, where like the goal is to collect one giant like gold, like 8 golden pieces in a level. You know, it doesn't do that. You collect all these little cubes and it slowly upgrades you. And when you get upgrade, you can like go to more areas of a world. And then like you slowly are like, you're trying to get to the point to where you can like, I think like take out a boss in the level and then you can move on to the next world. Don't quote me on that because I haven't beaten the first level yet, but I think I'm getting close to this boss, this like giant owl. There's definitely some things on the game that could be better and that need fixed, but overall it's really good. And I think that's really impressive for one person making the game. The other game I'm playing is, as I just bought the Animal, I think it's called Animal Well.
Yep,
just bought that yesterday. It's like a Metroidvania. Very, very simplistic, honestly. It really is. It's it feels, I don't want to say, don't take this wrong, it feels cheap, but it's not cheaply made. Like it just, it's just a simple, you're not, you know, the main character is not this suited out armored warrior, put it that way. You look like a little nugget just like walking around, but you get these fun upgrades and like you can, it's really, and there's no combat really. You're not fighting anything. You're surviving. You can be killed easily by other animals, but, you're trying to survive. And, that's an interesting take. And it's really pretty. It's very pixelated pretty. And it's very eerie. The music is very atmospheric, creepy. And then, but like I just like got to a point where I got a new upgraded item, and yeah, you got kind of get that itch. You're like, oh, you know, you get excited because you're like, oh, this finally can get me to you. You start thinking back at all the areas you got stuck on. You know, you always get stuck, yes. And then you move on. You just explore around. I'm like, oh, this will help me with this, and now I got to backtrack and find this area and redo it here. Sorry for baby noises, everyone. I'm on baby duty at the moment, but yeah, so I've been playing those, and I'm really honestly just kind of waiting for Paper Mario Thousand Year Door Remake to get here. That's really kind of the big game I've been waiting to, like, I haven't really let myself fully dive into any games when I've been on paternity leave to, like, just get obsessed and play nonstop. And I've been waiting for that. If I was still teaching the rest of this year and I wasn't on paternity, that would be like my Tears of the Kingdom game last year, my summer game. Yeah. Last year when school got out, I bought my summer game and it was Zelda. You know, this year it's going to be Paper Mario. So I'm really excited. I beat that game back as a kid when I first got it when I was a teenager. I got it for my 14th birthday. It came out in October 22nd, 04. So it was my turn 14. I got it and I beat it and I loved it. And I haven't played it since. So I'm actually really, really excited to dive back in. So that's really what I've been Radical Rexing about. But with that said, Traven, today, this whole month, Ryan actually had this great idea. He wanted to devote the month of to Mega Man. And this was before, obviously, he had some family setback health wise that he had to take care of, but he wanted to embrace Mega Man this May, and we decided, okay, let's devote a handful of episodes. So the next handful of episodes you guys will hear will be Mega Man based, and Traven is the first guest to join us for this, and Traven brings an expertise in all things Mega Man, but especially the game we're going to talk about, the game, really not just the game, but the series in general. So we're going to focus on Mega Man Battle Network. A long time ago.
Game Boy Advance.
Oh my gosh, Game Boy Advance. That's insane. Yeah, it came out in 2001. The first two. And actually, it's quite crazy is that they were pumping these things out. Because in 2001, they got Mega Man Battle Network 1 and 2. How do you release a sequel within the same year? That's pretty wild. And then Mega Man Battle Network 3 came out in 2002. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty insane. So within, and then, oh gosh, looks like 4 came out in 03. So they were just kind of easily making these games. And for a while there, people were getting, they were getting Mega Man, which is fantastic for Mega Man fans, I'm sure.
Yep.
But, take me back, Traven. Take us back to initially when this game was announced. How did you first get into it, hear about it? I really would like for you to just dissect, like, how different this X. This is not like Mega Man, and this is not like Mega Man X. This is much different, different take that really caught on. I mean, clearly, they made so many games. It was a hit for Capcom. And, you could play it. I remember my buddy was playing. I remember Brad playing a ton on his Game Boy Advance, and he had the Super Game Boy for the GameCube, and he would play it on the GameCube, and you had to like connect your links and stuff. It was kind of futuristic thinking for a game because the game story itself was about like the internet and getting onto the internet everywhere, and that was really kind of like foreshadowing like the future of what really happens with the future today of how we can connect to the internet in so many different ways. But go ahead, take it away, and let's dive in to this game.
So yeah, as you said before, Mega Man Battle Network was a game about basically I don't know if it predicted Internet of Things, but it was very much futuristic in that device. Like, everyone was walking around with these futuristic devices in their hands that you could call and email and text other people. And at the time, we didn't necessarily have that kind of technology. You know, we had an AI companion inside they called it a PET, a personal terminal, and everything was connected to the internet. Even trees and dog houses and all this fun stuff was connected to the internet, because in the game, when you went inside these things, you could find specific enemies. Sometimes, like if you connected to like a fish statue, you'd find fish enemies inside, and things like that. You'd find upgrades. So the Internet of Things was sort of a gameplay component, and it wasn't quite as big at the time, but it definitely felt like it prophesized how that went. As far as actually the rest of the storyline, it's you aren't Mega Man, you're Lan, but you play as Mega Man, who's his Navi, or kind of like his AI companion, who lives inside his personal terminal, which is kind of like the cell phone, as I stated before. And in the first game, it's Dr. Wily you're fighting, but as the game as the series progresses, you'll fight different antagonists. And so one of the big differences between gameplay-wise is in your Mega Mans and your Mega Man Xs, it's all a side-scroller. It's all a platformer. You're shooting things and jumping. In Mega Man Battle Network, you're on these sort of grids. Each there's two sides, your side and the enemy side, and there's a 3x3 grid. And instead of getting abilities from bosses, you'll get their battle chip, which lets you use a one-time use of their abilities. And you get other battle chips as well, which is what makes this whole thing fun, because you get a folder of 30 battle chips, and it's kind of like you move around on the 3x3 grid, but every turn you draw a sort of hand of these five battle chips, like cards, and that's what you can use. And it goes a bit deeper than that as well, because some of these work off of each other. One of the battle chips is called Area Grab, where you expand your 3x3 grid with an extra three spaces to move in, and then you combine it with a sword that can maybe only strike one panel ahead, so you can move in on the enemy and strike them with the sword. And then there's also Program Advances, where if you combine, say, three cannon battle chips together of three different letters, you'll get an even bigger can. So it's a bit more strategic than your typical Mega Man game. There's still weaknesses, but they're elemental weaknesses, kind of like how the Zero series worked, where you had different elements and certain bosses would be weak to certain elements. There was wood, fire, aqua, and electric. And then also those also played with the terrain in the games, where if you got style changes, like say if you used certain battle chips, you might turn into like one of the main styles they advertised was heat guts, which improves your buster attack and power and makes you a fire element. So then you could use a stage called like lava stage, and it would make everything lava, and it would hurt anyone that wasn't fire that touches it. But since you're fire, you can touch it and you can walk around in it. And then like ice panels, water navvies can't slip on those. And later in the game, in the fifth entry, I think it was, they actually introduced water panels. And like if you use an electric attack over a water panel, it also do additional damage. So there's a lot of strategy compared to your traditional Mega Man, your traditional Mega Man X. But at the same time, you're also moving around and you have to dodge. So there's still that skill. Skill requirement in play. So that's probably what made it so fun. It's certainly made it fun for me. And a lot of that customizing your navi as well, you know, becoming maybe a fire type specialist, or later in the game, they let you choose dark chips, which you'd lose like one permanent health, but you could use these powerful attacks. So that was main difference between the main series and Mega Man Battle Network.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I really feel like that this was just kind of a resurgence, like a rebirth of who Mega Man was, and a new way to show him to a new generation. Because I feel like you said at the when you started talking, that Mega Man had always traditionally been a platformer, and mm-hmm. it had been a very brutal platformer, and then they made Mega Man X, which was even more brutal of a platformer. This was different. I feel like this was a bit more kid friendly. I feel like this was I feel like it's easier to learn how, and you develop a skill for it. You know, it's not necessarily just run across and blast things and dodge attacks. It's there's skill, there's thinking, because it's an RPG, right?
I don't know if it's officially classified as an RPG. I mean, it's a little bit of a deck building RPG, a little bit of an action RPG. I mean, technically, if you wanted to, you can beat entire battles just using your Mega Buster, charging up and shooting things. So it gives you a lot of freedom in that regards. I mean, there's a way you can customize your navi where it just has a bunch of Buster attack and no really like card drawing abilities. So mm-hmm. you could just fight like that if you wanted to.
So, I mean, it wasn't just the game, though. I mean, this game obviously was a huge hit, but then like you just kind of referred to they had a big play with like cards. Cards was a big part of the game. Mm-hmm. It also spun a, I remember this being popular. It spun off into a giant manga anime.
Yes.
And I think that was, that would have been on, I want to say it was on like Fox Kids
it
or
was,
something like that.
It was like on the same Saturday morning cartoons that you'd have like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon on. I don't know.
That would have been WB, before. WB yeah. Kids then.
I remember it showing up mornings like that as well.
Yeah. You know, and I can think, and again, I don't know for sure, because I've never professed to be like this, like ultra big Mega Man fan, but I can imagine that some fans of the series may have been a little let down or hard to have change. If you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, you know, Banjo-Kazooie is a 3D platformer, but they come out a game for it, and I've been wanting one for quite a while, and it's just like this entirely different type of game. I could see that being unsettling for me, especially initially. Well, you even mentioned it, like you're Mega Man's not even the main character, right? Mega Man's like he's a digital companion.
Well, so there's the thing. It's, you know, like how in Pokemon, it's always Ash and Pikachu. In Mega Man, it's sort of Lan and Mega Man. I guess this is like a 20-year-old game now, so spoiler alert for anyone who cares. But technically, Mega Man is Lan's brother, like Lan's father sort of digitized Lan's brother who died and turned him into Mega Man. And Mega Man's kind of a special program in that regard. So in a way, yeah, you play as Lan it kind of switches. In the overworld, you're playing as Lan. In the internet world, you're playing as Mega Man. It still, for the most part, is focused on Lan being that he's the human character, but it's very much Lan and Mega Man are sharing the spotlight.
It kind of feels like a combination of like Digimon a little bit too.
Yeah, there's definitely that kind of element. Part of the, as it goes on, there's a bit more of this sync power that they get. There'll be like special like combos, and in the later games, you can actually bond with other navvies. And if you've bonded with those other navvies, you can kind of fuse between them. Like, you know, Fireman, like if you bond with Fireman when you're Lan, they kind of come to an understanding, and you get like a Fireman, Mega Man cross form, which lets you use Fireman's abilities, and you can power up fire battle chips and all this sort of thing. So in a way, it kind of has that sort of, you know, Digimon human bond or Pokemon human bond to it as well.
That's really interesting. I mean, that's really cool. I mean, honestly, it's something I wish I would have been more, I feel like I'd be a lot more into it today than I would have been back then. It's seems a lot more, I can understand the concept a bit better than I could back then. But so obviously this game kept being made, but I would say that it kind of fell off a little bit after a while. Like Mega Man Battle Network, it kind of stopped during the DS era. And I don't really, outside of the collection that we just got last year, I really don't feel like they've done much with this series. Do you?
Well, so let me go through kind of like all the Mega Man games, because they did make some, or Mega Man Battle Network games, because they did make some for the DS, or at least one. So they made 1 through 6. All of that was on the Game Boy Advance. So when the DS era came, they ported 5 over to the DS and added a few features. But when the DS came, they went to Mega Man Star Force, which uses sort of the similar format, only it's a bit more of a first-person view, and you've got a 3x1 sort of area that you move around in. So Star Force is kind of seen as the spiritual successor to Mega Man Battle Network. And then also you mentioned that there is a GameCube game as well, which is a lot more of the traditional Mega Man gameplay, only you still have that folder, you know, card draw mechanic, but you've also got that side-scroller jumping and shooting that you're used to with Mega Man. So it didn't really, I mean, it did fall off after the Mega Man Star Force series, because I think maybe a lot of fans maybe would have picked it up as well as the Mega Man Battle Network, because, you know, now they changed stuff. Now we don't have the original characters. But it wasn't until after Star Force 3. I think they made another Mega Man Battle Network that was like a remake of 1, only it was a crossover with Star Force as well. But I think that was kind of the last game in the series there. The Star Force kind of ended it. And Mega Man Battle Network 6, story-wise, does end the story. Like, they kind of conclude everything. And I think they have, like, a fast-forward where they show Lan as an adult and stuff like that. So that's kind of why they moved on to Star Force. It was sort of a Game Boy Advance series game. And when they moved the DS, they wanted to do something different. They wanted to move on to Star Force, which explored different themes.
Wow. And did Star Force take off nearly as well as Network, or is it kind of like, wasn't as well received?
No, it didn't really take off as well. I mean, while Mega Man Battle Network had, you know, toys and games and a card game and a TV show and all this sort of stuff, Mega Man Star Force, I don't think really had any of that. I think probably by the time that 6 came around, 6 is one of the best games, if not the best game in the series, but everyone was kind of, you know, that new game sort of feeling started to wore off and people are getting a little over it. And Star Force came around and it didn't do quite as well. It had some neat mechanics and stuff like that, but it just didn't take off like Mega Man Battle Network did.
Well, and then, it seems like Mega Man has just kind of gone back to its roots, and anytime we do get a game, it's kind of a platformer right now. What, wasn't Mega Man, was it 13, the latest one that came out or something like that?
It was 11.
11.
If I remember correctly.
So again, don't quote me on it. I'm not the biggest Mega Man follower out there, but yeah, now we have the collection of a traditional Mega Man. There's like two collections of those, I believe, and there's Mega Man X, and then there's Mega Man Battle Network, which is available. Did you get the collection?
Yes, I got the collection. It's actually a very good collection for anyone who wants to pick up the Mega Man Battle Network series. They added a lot of stuff that was only exclusive in Japan, or things that had weird unlock conditions. Base Cross, which if you guys know Base from the Mega Man series, in one of the games, some of the later games, you get a special like cross fusion with Base that's super powerful. That's added in. And they added in a special feature that there was like e-reader cards in Japan that lets you change your Buster weapon. And that's huge because normally you're only allowed to change your Buster weapon when you get a new style. So you get, you know, total of 6 different Buster weapons a game. And this adds a whole set of new customization onto a game that already has a ton of customization. So if you're even like remotely interested in Mega Man Battle Network, that's definitely the collection to get.
Very nice. Well, very good. Thank you, Trayvon. I really appreciate you coming on, just kind of explaining about this series. Again, I wish I had more better base knowledge of it. I know he's represented even in Smash, you know, like when you get to do your final, it's got a bunch of different iterations of Mega Man all coming together for their final Smash attack. Spoilers there. So if you haven't played it yet, you should have by now, but fantastic. Is there any place that people could find you, any content you put out or follow you anywhere for anything you may do? I know you're not too much on the social media, so fine.
I don't really have any social media to speak of.
It's fine. You live in the shadows and you pop up here and there for us. Well, very good. Trayvon, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate you. I know it's not the most ideal, especially when I got a baby infant hanging off my shoulder. But thank you. Guys, you can keep Ryan in your thoughts and prayers. He's just got a lot of family stuff going on, and hopefully he'll be back with us soon. With that said, folks, I think we'll wrap up this episode. We'll see you next week. Bye.